bravest of the brave. Lera Bodach, the victorious, Connacht Connacht, Celtic on Peter, Doc on Floa, Gopalan Maxuldim, and Skell, the son of Burdener. Through their names, they live on in our culture. They knew how important it was to be remembered, to be named, to be mentioned in the sagas and histories promised immortality. Those who recited the Tone and our other sagas knew the importance of remembrance, of identity. Hence the appropriateness of our commemoration ceremony, although belated, in some atonement for the indignity of anonymity bestowed on those buried here. It is appropriate as we of this community and culture do so. The poor law and workhouse system that lasted from 1841, in this case to 1923, cannot be dismissed with any historical accuracy as a foreign imposition only. In its origins, it contains the initial basis for the system of social welfare we have today. Certainly, from the mid-19th century onwards, the system was increasingly administered and governed by nationalist politicians as a deliberate and planned tactic to control all representative positions in the country. For example, the minute books for 1917 still extant show that some board of guardians of the Celtic Pro Law Union held strong nationalist sentiments, passing resolutions on the release of the 1916 internees. Such advanced views did not include any reflection on the culture of the workhouse they administered. The Selbridge workhouse was administered by local representatives, elected locally throughout the union area. An important part of their function was to keep running costs to a minimum for the benefit of local ratepayers. Much of the business of the workhouse was tendered out to local business interests. We should be mindful of these facts. The Selbridge Union workhouse functioned in and was representative of the social and business ethos of its time. The anonymity of those buried here is our reproach. That is why we, the historical heirs of that culture, are here today to make amends to the memory of those who are deemed by that culture to their poverty to be people not worthy of record or remembrance. We should learn from our history also. Perhaps we could reflect today on those in our community who are anonymous to us by reason of their marginalisation in society, their disability, our neglect, our prejudice. Let us leave here today resolved that never again shall any of our community be nameless and anonymous to us. Let our pledge to that end be that this ground be now regarded as much as the sacred heritage of Selbridge as any other, and our final valediction that which echoed down the centuries of our common Christian heritage. In Paradisum de Lucente Angeli, may angels lead thee into paradise. Right.
Thank you. yesterday evening with a work crew until 5 o'clock to get the place looking well for this morning, and appreciate that extra effort that he put in. Also, there's Mr. Cassidy of Tobermore, who sponsored the tiles for the Tidy Towns for the project. Andrea from the off-the-shelf wedding fair, who provided the bouquets. Now, also, we would like to pay attention to the old committee of 88. David Bailey is here, and Michael Fitzsimons. They were members of the old committee that took upon taking over the graveyard, which was in a deplorable state, and Mrs. Anne Gilligan, who I still have the minutes over in my car there from those meetings, and they're very interesting. And they worked very hard to try and keep it, but the whole site was just so big, so large, that it sort of overtook them. And eventually David approached the Tidy Towns to see would we do it. Now, we knew at that stage it was going to be a very difficult project, but from a Tidy Towns point of view, it was a terrible eyesore. And then from my interest in local history, I felt that something should be done here. So we set about, and we very much appreciate the committee of 88 who worked hard back in those days. I'd also like to thank... I'd also like to thank Dr. Waters for allowing us to upset his boundary fence down there and to extract the original gate that the bodies would come from the workhouse into the graveyard. We put up a little plaque there yesterday, and we restored the gate to its former glory. And also my son Jason, who's looking after the sound here in an excellent way. Thank you, Jason. And of course, to Charlotte Daly. Where's Charlotte? Somewhere here. Charlotte is our sculptor who posted the magnificent piece here today, designed it and manufactured it and placed it. Thank you very much. The next piece of work. Now, Charlotte produced 6 designs, of which Roisin and myself decided that we would pick. We thought it best not to put it before a 12-man-woman committee, because we'd end up with 6 all pieces added together. So Roisin and myself took a dictatorial view on it, decided on this sculpture, and Charlotte went ahead and did it. So now also, of course, my good wife, Mary, who's put up with me for the last 4 years, all the comings and goings, and the preparation for the sashes and the colours around. Also, Mary from the Tidy Towns, Mary Henley, who did the floral display, and Larkin from Absolute Flowers down the town, who provided the wreath. So, now, basically, that's the thank you out of the way. Now, there was, I have down here, it took 4 years from the time we took it on to see how we'd gone, and then 2 years went by, and we were only cutting the grass and trying to keep the litter out of the place, and then Tesco came to our rescue. And things took off an alarming rate. I mean, they invested €40,000 in this project, and it's very much appreciated, Michael. And Enda, of course. Enda Keenan, who is there, the manager for the supermarket. Now, there's many reasons for the project. It's a win-win situation. It was a win-win for Kildare County Council getting the extra piece to make the road safe and the cycle lane. It was a win-win for the Tidy Towns that we're ending up with a project that we probably will put forward in next year's competition and say, this is what we've done, a heritage award section. There was my own interest in local history and a fascination for the workhouse and all that that went with it and that whole period, which I take a keen interest in. Now, I just wander off the subject a little. From my own personal point of view, I'm sure everybody has a little story about their ancestors and the work that went on. I had 2 grand-aunts that lived down in Chapel Hill in Lucan, Katie and Rosanna. Both of them were born in around 1860. Now imagine, they were 56 years of age during the 1916 rising, and we'll talk about it if it was like yesterday. But when I get into, even at a very young age, I'd be quizzing them, what happened here, what happened there. When I bring up the famine or bring up the workhouse or anything like that, they just tell me, no, we don't want to talk about that. And I found out that their history or their horror was that a mother and child had died on Lucan Bridge, heading to the workhouse. I died of hunger and cold one night. And for the famine to reach that far into the second city of the empire was horrific for my two aunts. But they spoke about that period. But eventually, I, you know, they always lived in fear. My own father and mother's generation would have told me that everybody in the area was perhaps only one step away from the workhouse. That it was their biggest fear. And we all know about the insurance that you, our aunts and uncles and all paid every week, so that it was this fear of ending up in the workhouse, because it was only a one-way ticket. You went in the front door of the workhouse, you ended up in here. Fairly few people actually got away in that time of the 1840s, 1847. Now, the other thing that I remember was I went to Romania in 92. And I came across an orphanage, and it was very like the workhouse. And the smells in it and the problems that were there, in 92, only a couple of years ago. And the first thing I said to myself when I went into that orphanage, I said, this is what the workhouse must have looked like. And across the field, from the back of the orphanage, I could see a pit with sand and one of those Romanian crosses stuck in the topsoil. And it reminded me again of the distance the workhouse is from here. It was far enough away, but still you could walk to it. And that's where they would bury the babies from that orphanage. So, you know, if we're not talking about a past that's so far back that nobody remembers, it's in our own father and mother's and grandmother's generation, and in certain countries it's been very recent, that same similar situation. Now, the last thing that I know I'm going on a little, but I want to make reference to an Uncle Harry of mine. Now, Harry Nolan was adopted into my granny's family in Lucan on Chapel Hill in 1918, and Harry lived to a great age and was one of my favourite uncles. I remember a fine, big, handsome, strong man, and he died there a couple of years ago, and we saw him off. And I never thought any more about him, except the memories I'd have when he'd bring me into Dublin on Christmas. And last Christmas, in the middle of all the panic of getting, you know, the organising this event, I was looking through some old photographs at home, and I found a photograph of Uncle Harry. And I turned around, on the back of it was, born in 1917 in the North Dublin Union Workhouse. So I thought that was very poignant, because Harry was a man that probably in another period would have ended up in a grave like this. But he survived. My granny adopted him, and he lived to a great age. So I have that connection that, you know, even in my own family, I've had a relative who came from the workhouse. So in the North Dublin Union. So the last thing I want to say now is that while I was in Romania, I came across a little thing that really struck me. And I want to read it out now, and to be the last thing I'll say for the next few minutes. It says it was written by an artist who put on an exhibition in Bucharest. And he only recently, the last 5 or 6 years, he put on an exhibition to do with the dictator Ceausescu. Now, like ourselves here in Ireland, nobody wants to talk about the workhouse, nobody wants to talk about the famine. It was just gone. It was just too serious a subject to discuss. And this artist in Romania wanted to remember the terrible deeds that happened out there, and all of the local Romanians were not interested, but he went ahead with it. And what he said, what he wrote over the door of his exhibition, was a society that builds its future must know its past, the real past, not as just as it occurred. If I, a witness who lived in those times, don't speak about them, then others who didn't live then will invent their own version of such facts. Thank you. Now, I'd like to call on the Mayor of Kildare, Mary Lennon, to say a few words and to perhaps relay a wreath. It's already late, Mary, but we go down. I forgot to take it away. But this is the organisation. But thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much. I want to say thanks to Tony and Roisin and all the committee for inviting me here today. It's a great privilege to be here on such a special occasion. And I think it's a great tribute to the very hard work of the committee in pulling this project together that so many of you have turned out today. I was listening to Tommy Macon this morning on the radio, an old recording, and he was describing how Irish music was distilled over the years, how it went to America, it went through the bluegrass sieve and became bluegrass music, and then came back here as country music, and completely unrecognisable to people like his mother, Sarah Makem, who guarded the heritage of real Irish music over the years. And it just struck a chord with me, because it made me realise that if we don't protect that history, whether it's cultural or social, such as the Poorhouse Graveyard here, that it will be gone for future generations. And then my young daughter, who quite honestly wouldn't come with me today, she went to the pictures, you know, that they will grow up not knowing, and I freely admit that I couldn't persuade her to come and experience what I thought was a very special occasion. And, you know, we have to preserve these memories for our children. So as Tony quite rightly said, you know, if we don't remember our past, it's very difficult to build a future. And in remembering the past, we also give validity to so many people who died and were buried nameless here, as they were in Naas and in Athy. I mean, I often walk through the Poorhouse Graveyard in Naas, and I look at the stones, and I know that 99% of the people who go walking there near the lakes in Naas don't know the history of the Poorhouse Graveyard. And I think it's a huge tribute to the committee that they put so many long years of optimism into trying to preserve this memory for Selbridge. And I'm delighted to hear that it's down to Councillor Katie Ridge, whom I greatly admire on Kildare County Council, that she came up with the brilliant idea of how to get the funding for this. And I also think it's a huge tribute to Tesco that they picked up the ball and ran with it. And it's a huge community gain, a marvellous gesture on behalf of Tesco. And that's what mutual gain is all about, and that's good business, that we all gain something from it. I hope you enjoy today. I'm very privileged to be part of it. I want to say a huge congratulations to Jarlath for what I think is a wonderful sculpture, and to Roisin for her lovely poem. It's one of my favourite ones, and it always brings a tear to my eye. And I want to say thank you very much. Lovely community here. Lovely welcome. Great to be in Selbridge. And thank you very much for including me in this very special day. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. That was lovely. Now, I just have down there, and we're going to have a wreath laying in front of the sculpture in memory of the souls that are buried underneath us here today. And Enna will play a little bit of music in the background. So I'm going to just suggest that we have a minute's silence while we're laying the wreath, and then we come back to that. Is that all right, Mary? Thank you.
Thank you. Grace and peace of God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hope into the fullness of peace. May the Lord of life be always with you. And brothers and sisters, we believe that all the ties of friendship and affection which knit us as one throughout our lives are not unraveled with death. Confident that God always remembers the good we have done, forgives our sins, let us pray asking God to gather to himself all our loved ones who lie in these graves. Almighty God, through the death of your Son on the cross, you destroyed our death. Through his rest in the tomb, you hallowed the graves of all who believe in you. Through his rising again, you restored us to eternal life. God of the living and the dead, accept our prayers for those who have died in Christ and are buried with him in the hope of rising again. So they are true to your name on earth, let them praise you forever in the joy of heaven. God, the Almighty Father, raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. With confidence we ask him to save his people, living and dead. For our friends who lie in these graves, who have gone before us, and await the kingdom, that they may have the reward of their goodness. Lord, hear us. For those who have fallen asleep in the hope of rising again, that they may see God face to face. Lord, hear us. For those whose faith is known to you alone, that they will have light, happiness, and peace. Lord, hear us. For all who mourn the loss of their loved ones, that they will find comfort in their sadness, certainty in their doubt, and courage in their loneliness. Lord, hear us. For ourselves who have assembled here to worship in faith, that we may be reunited one day with all whom we love, and every tear will be wiped away. Lord, hear us. God, our shelter and our strength, you listen in love to the cry of your people. Hear the prayers we offer for our departed brothers and sisters who lie in these graves. Cleanse them of their sin. Grant them the fullness of redemption. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us end with the prayer we all know. Be our Father. Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Amen.
God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Shine and Father Carmody. That was a lovely little finish to our ceremony. And once again, I'd like to thank all the people that turned up. And, you know, somebody said we might make this not as elaborate, but maybe once a year we might make an effort to come here to remember the souls that died in hard, hard times. And who would have thought that in 07 that a supermarket across the road from the workhouse would sponsor the restoration of the farming graveyard, which we're very grateful for. And of course, again, I want to emphasise the Tidy Towns. There's a marvellous committee behind that's involved at the moment. There was 5 or 6, 7 people out this morning at 7:30, including me, of course, cleaning the streets. A few of our committee there, like Gemma and John, who came up here during the week and kept an eye on the place and helped along the builders and so on. Now, as I said, I'm sure I've forgotten somebody, so don't take offence. So, on behalf of the Selbridge Tidy Towns and Tesco, Father Carmody, the Mayor, Mary Gleeson, and deputies and councillors, for all their support, it's been a great journey over the last 4 years. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Souvenir.